and amen and amen and amen and amen. Listen to me for too long. I just want to share my heart with you. For too long, we've come together and gathered together. And you hear me talk about it every time I'm here, but I mean it with all my heart and my soul. I mean it just as much as if I told you I love biscuits and gravy. Do you hear me? For too long, we have come together and we come to church and we just have church. Listen to me. The devil is not worried, nor does he care if you go to church. It don't bother him a bit. You catching my drift? Now, some of you good religious people are looking at me like, how dare you be sacrilegious? Follow me. I want to enlighten you on something. There's a difference between going somewhere and there's a difference between being there. I want to be there tonight. I want to be in His presence. The Word said that when Jesus cried out that the temple veil was torn from the top to the very bottom. Do you understand? Because before that, just the priest could go into the presence of God. Jesus was saying, because of my gift, because of the blood that I shed, now every one of you that are sitting in the balcony and sitting on this floor, you have the right to come into my presence. Imagine the audacity of America today to look at God and say, you know what? It was good enough me just hearing about what was in your presence. I didn't need to go in. See, we go to church on Thursdays, and we go to church on Sundays, and we go to church on Wednesdays, and we let the preacher tell us about what God did in His alone time in the presence. Folks, God never called us preachers to be the one to have an experience in our lives for you. You have the ability to tear that curtain apart and walk into the presence of God and see what God will do. Are you catching me in this place tonight? If we want to see something happen, if we want to see a change, because look, I hear people complain all the time about where we're at and what's going on in our country. Dennis Aaron, I hear it all the time. Oh, I'm not happy with where our country's at. Well, get off your butt and get to your knees and get into the presence of God and we'll begin to see something change. Are you listening to me? Now, you good religious people, you probably don't like that very much. I'm telling you, we've been so good religious for so long that we got babies having babies. We got families being torn apart. We got teenagers with their arm tied off shooting up dope. We got prisons full. But our offering's big because, man, we got a big church going on in America today. We got plenty of people coming to church. Man, ain't we doing good? No. It's time that we quit mamby-pambying around and get the Word out. Sometimes the Word is difficult. Sometimes the Word hurts. But in today's society, man, it's just like going through McDonald's. That's the way we want our church. You know, I've said I don't want any pickles or onions. Sometimes God's going to give you a sandwich with pickles and onions. You're going to have to suck it up, buttercup, and eat the pickles and the onions. Am I right or am I wrong? Because you ain't where I'm at. I'm so tired of getting phone calls. People's lives destroyed because they thought it was enough. Now listen to me, man. Because they thought it was enough just to go to church. You ask Dennis Aaron, he'll tell you if I'm lying. Our phone goes off all the time with people that are broken. And they didn't have to be broken, did they, Dennis? We can quit being broken. You see, sometimes we find ourselves, and we're going to be tonight in Luke, and then we're going to go to Kings. And some of you were sitting there wondering, I know, because unless you have 3 points and a couple of jokes, it can't be a real sermon. I understand. I never went to preaching school, so we'll just do this my way tonight, all right? So anyway, we're going to go to Luke, and then we'll go to 1 Kings. But I want to talk to you tonight about when you have been crying out to God. When you've been seeking God. Any of y'all ever walked through a difficult time in your life? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. I started saying, if you ain't got your hand up, son, I want your genetics. Because when I try to button my pants, it's a difficult day. You hear me? I'm like, somebody bring me a coat hanger. I got them buttoned, but I can't get them zipped. Some of you ladies know what I'm talking about, don't you? Y'all been there before. I used to watch my mama get a coat hanger and pull it up. I wondered, why is my mama doing that? When I got older, I figured out that thing will cut your finger when you're trying to get it up if you're too fat and putting on jeans that don't fit. You hear what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. One thing about me, you'll never have to wonder if I'm real or not. Amen? But I want to talk about the power of being persistent. Now look, again, I'll tell you some stuff that Dennis Aaron will tell you. And if there's anybody else in this place that's in the ministry, they will tell you the same thing. I am so tired of people turning stuff over to Jesus for 24 hours. Hang on, I'm going to step right down here because I don't think some of you heard me. Hang on just a second. Let me get right back here. I'm so tired of people turning stuff over to Jesus for 24 hours. See, they come to church and, oh man, whoo, glory to God, they get a little kick going on. Man, I feel good. See, that's another problem that we got today. See, if you're going to be persistent about something, sometimes you're going to have to be persistent when you don't feel like being persistent. Hello? Let me ask you wives something in this place today and just pretend your husband ain't here. Yeah. Some of them said, let me tell you something. I don't even care if he's here, all right? Wives, you know you loved your husband, but I want you to be honest now. Because, look, I'm a pretty good husband, but my wife would fall in this same category. Have you ever had a day where you really just did not like that man very much? Easy, whoa, Seabiscuit. We're going to have marriage counseling starting next week, all right? Just kidding. But now, why do you stay? Follow me. Follow me. I know I ain't read a scripture yet. Just bear with me. I'm going to get there. Why do you stay? It's because you made a covenant and a commitment that you were His and He was yours. And you ain't going to run even on the days when you don't feel like it. I know. I've had them days. You go, oh, you're a preacher. You can't have them days. Somebody lied to you. I woke up the other morning, Dennis Aaron, I don't know why I was in a bad mood, but I was in a bad mood. Do you hear me? My wife ain't done nothing. She asked me if she could get me some coffee and bring it to bed, and I said, no, I don't want any coffee. Y'all ever seen a woman that all the bones leaving her neck? That was her. I don't know what was going on with me, but you know what? I wasn't going to run because I was in a covenant with her. I want you to know today that persistence will always pay off. If when you say that you're going to give something to Jesus, I promise you, if you'll give it to Him, I guarantee you, He ain't going to go, oh, you know what, I misplaced it. See, a lot of times we think, oh, I prayed, but God must have forgot. Honey, God don't forget. Now let's be real with one another. How many of y'all ever in this place been seeking God for something and it just took God forever and you didn't know if God was ever going to answer your prayer? Anybody been there before? I guess I come to the right place because those are the people I came to talk to tonight. You hear me? I mean that. The Lord began to share with me about the power of being persistent and how we need to grab a hold of something like a bulldog. I got some buddies of mine a little further south in Logansport. Matter of fact, Joey's here. I ain't going to make no jokes about him, but he takes me hog hunting. All right? I love hog hunting. There's one thing I don't like about hog hunting. All right? This ain't got nothing to do with the sermon. Bear with me. As far as what I don't like about it, snakes. You hear me? Negative, Ghost Rider. That ain't right. It ain't natural. I don't want nothing to do with them. But anyway, they take me hog hunting, and when they turn that bulldog loose, that bulldog catches, I heard one of them say one time, said, "Go get the break stick." I said, "What?" They said, "Ray, you ain't going to get that bulldog off of him." He said, "You got this stick, you put it in his mouth," and he said, "You can pry it open." You know why? Because that bulldog has something that the body of Christ needs today. We need to sink our teeth into the promises of God, and can't nobody break us. You understand it? When we grab a hold of it, there ain't a break stick big enough to get my teeth out of what God has promised me. If God promised you that your marriage would be blessed, guess what? Quit talking to your girlfriend on the phone about, "Well, I know, I can't believe you did that." And you know what I've been thinking about? D-I-V-O-R-C. My little boy today. And then you come to church and want to waste my time and Dennis's time and your other preacher's time. "Would you pray for my marriage?" No! No, I won't pray for your marriage. No, I won't pray for your health. No, I'm not going to pray for your finances. No, I'm not going to pray for your mouth to quit saying all them words. No, I'm not going to pray for you to quit having them bad dreams. Because as soon as you leave here, you're going to go, "You know what, I just can't help it. I have those dreams." No, I'm not going to pray for your drug addiction. Because when you leave here, you're going to go, "Man, I can't help it. I just got to have some." Everything out of your mouth is contradicting the promise of God. We need to close our mouth and bite it down onto what God has promised us. Chapter 18, verse 1 of Luke. Here lately I've been talking dyslexic about the Bible. I don't know what my problem is. Thank you as I put these glasses on, yes. I hope that ain't so, because these jeans would be 83s, all right. Verse 1, chapter 18 says, "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up." My goodness, I never went to theological school, but that sounds a lot like what I was just telling you. Let me read that again, because I'm going to see if we can fit it into today's society. "And then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always second guess what God had told them. And it's okay if they don't agree and have a bunch of friends that want to speak death into their life. It's okay." I'm sorry. Let me try this again. "And then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and do the religious thing. They didn't really have to believe it, but as long as they just pretended they did, everything was okay." If it's so dang wrong, why are we doing it? No, we're not stupid. We've just been indoctrinated in it. Listen to me. Some of you in this place tonight, you can leave here, and if you get upset with me, before you get upset with me, I want you to pray and ask God where our country would be if we did the polar opposite of what we're doing. Those things that I just read to you and you went, "No, that's not the Word. That's what we've turned the Word into. That's what we've begun to believe." We second guess everything God has ever done. I can't fathom my children looking at me after I have promised them something and turning around to their friend and going, "You know what? I doubt my father will honor his word." I can't fathom that they would do that. I promise you, God has never run from his promises. Here's what I will promise you. God always runs to his promises. Let's finish up and read on. "Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up." We need some backbone in our churches today. You hear me? How many? Now, hang on. I got to stop here for just a second. How many of you would agree with me that in America today, I watch this dude on TV. Now, forgive me. I don't mean to be ugly to anybody in here, but a man ought to be a man. How many of y'all agree with me with that? I watched this dude on TV the other day. And I just thought, where have men gone? Y'all been there before? I mean, he was like, well, you know, I was just thinking, but it just hurt my feelings so bad. Folks, listen, I'm a compassionate dude, but get over it. Do you know how many in the body of Christ today are always getting offended and they give up because they allow a spirit of offense to have a right in their life? Listen to me. If you get offended by the word, honey, stop. Let the word not offend you, but let the word challenge and change you. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about man. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. And for some time, he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? I'm asking you tonight in this place, if you're walking through some difficult stuff, if you're walking through some challenging stuff, I'm asking you, have you allowed this world to become more real to you than the promise of God? Hello? Some of you go, what do you mean this world? This is real. I mean, that's a real floor, correct? Yeah, it really is. But I'm going to tell you something. When Jesus gives me a promise, if they told you you have cancer in this place, but God said he promised he was going to heal you, quit absolutely saying to yourself, I've got cancer and I'm going to die of cancer. They say I got 6 months. Let me tell you something, folks. Until God calls you home, that's how long you're going to live. We must allow God's promise to be bigger than what this world wants you to have as a reality. Go to 1 Kings with me. I'm going to be done fairly quickly. 1 Kings. 1 Kings. Just keep going left. In my Bible, it's on page 512. Try that. See where you end up. Give you all a chance to get there. I'm doing good on time. Chapter 18. Thank you. 1 Kings chapter 18. My brain's spinning out of control. What little of it there is. Read verse 1. It says, after a long time in the third year. Now, the third year of what? It's important that you grab a hold of this. You say, Ray, what in the world could the persistent widow in 1 Kings chapter 18 have to do with one another? I'm glad you asked. I'm fixing to carry you there. It said in the third year of a drought. How many of y'all ever lived through a drought before? Raise your hand. Let me tell you something. In Lubbock, Texas, not long ago, I'll never forget it. We went 6 months with zero measurable precipitation. We had winds 65 and 70 miles an hour. It was, y'all, those haboobs that they show over in Iraq where the dirt rolls in and everything goes black. We were having those 102, 103, 104 degree temperature. Our ground began to open up. Our trees were dying. People's aquifers were falling out. Nobody was watering because, folks, it got scary. A drought is a scary thing. Do you understand me? I want you to understand that these people that Elijah had gone to, they were in the middle of a drought. Now, here's what I know. If you get so thirsty, if you're not careful, you could drink something wrong. Hello? Am I the only idiot that watches them survival shows? I know, if it's standing still, you're no drinky. If it's moving, make sure the cows ain't upstream. But if a man gets thirsty enough, if a man gets thirsty enough, he'll roll his dice even when it ain't moving and it's stagnant. Folks, we got to be careful in America today in our churches. Listen to me, because God's given us a responsibility to feed our people. God has called us to make sure that the flow of the Holy Spirit is there. We need to make sure that when God sends the hungry and the thirsty into our place, that they have something fresh to drink and it's not something old and stale and stagnant. And the only way I know to do that is to let the power of the Holy Spirit come in and blow and move that creek, baby. You see, a drought is a miserable thing. A drought affects everything. A drought will affect relationships. A drought affects the cattle. A drought affects your kids. A drought affects everything. And these people were in the middle of a 3-year drought. And God sent a man. Now let's read on. After a long time, in the 3rd year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, "Go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land." And Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. Now move over, and I want you to begin in verse 41. We're going to skip. There's a whole other sermon in between here and there. Matter of fact, there's about 20 sermons. Begin in verse 41. Now, did God or did God not promise rain? You know what my mamaw used to tell me? My mamaw, she went on to be with Jesus. She was about 4 foot nothing. And when she walked around, she looked like a little banny rooster. Y'all ever seen them when they just... That was my mamaw. My mamaw was a strutting. Mamaw always carried her a pistol. I mean, mamaw, and she would shoot you. Okay? That was my Meemaw. And I used to ask Meemaw, I'd say, "Are you sure, Meemaw?" And Meemaw would always say this. She said, "Boy, if I tell you that it's raining and you look out that window and it's sunshining," she said, "grab you an umbrella because I am always right." You see, when Jesus sent Elijah and said, "I'm going to send rain," Dennis, wouldn't it have been cool if Elijah just showed up on the scene and all of a sudden it began raining and he said, "See, God sent me here because he was going to send some rain." Hello? Folks, faith is the fundamental, most important thing that you're ever going to have to use when you're walking through this hard time and your persistence. We give up too quick. We allow our faith to be replaced by fear. I'm going to tell you something else. Follow me. We allow our faith to be replaced by what this world would call common sense. There's been a bunch of things. Dennis, you tell me, has God ever done anything in your life that was absolutely made no common sense whatsoever? It was total backwards? Me too. And I look up at him like, "Dude, why? It wouldn't have been easier to do it this." He's like, "No, it would have required no faith that way." And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So here Elijah comes and he shows up. 41. And Elijah said to Ahab, "Go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain." I'm going to wait right here for just a minute, because what the Holy Spirit bumped me about is some of you need to hear the sound of a heavy rain. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Some of you need a spiritual rain. Some of you don't need one of them 2 inches in an hour rain. Some of you need one of them soaking rains because it's been so long and you're so dry. And God's crying out to you tonight. And He's saying, if you listen, I'm hearing thunder in the distance. When you hear thunder in the distance, that don't mean get up and go somewhere else. That means stay the course. He promised rain here, not over there. Ooh, I'm just going to say it because the Lord bought me. Whoever you are in this place, listen to me carefully, sir. The Lord gave you your wife or your girlfriend, and you think you're hearing thunder from another woman. I promise you, that thunder will give you a bolt of lightning that'll kill you. You better stay with the one that God sent you to for the rain. Now, I don't know who you are, but you better deal with it or it will deal with you. Let's move on. And Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink. There's a sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Mount Carmel, bent down on the ground and put his face between his knees. And he looked. And now listen to what he says in verse 4. Go toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and he looked. What did his servant say? How many of you would agree with me? Wouldn't it have been good if he'd come back and said, whoa! I see a squall line and it's fitting to be a turd floater. That's my God. Hello? That ain't what he did. He sent his servant up there. The man of God's hearing thunder. And he sends his boy up and he says, go out yonder and look. And his boy comes back. Can you imagine? He's like, whoa. I know you think you hear him. Thunder, but there ain't nothing out there. You know how many times in your spirit, follow me, you know how many times in your spirit God has rumbled in you the roar of thunder, the roar of victory, the roar of being more than a conqueror, but you open your eyes and all around you your circumstances look so much different than what God promised. Honey, listen to the roar of the lion on the inside of you. There's a rain coming. There's a rain coming. You don't have to live defeated. There's a rain coming. I hope some of y'all getting this tonight. I promise I do. Go look toward the sea, he told him his servant. He went up and looked. And he said, there's nothing there. He said, 7 times. Hang on. 7 times. D.A., I can't speak for anybody else. I'm just going to speak for Ray. Do you know how many times Ray's given up because the first time I went and looked, I didn't see nothing that looked like what God promised me? You have any idea what I probably left on the table because I believed my eyeballs instead of my spirit? Not anymore. Y'all hearing me? No more. I want His promise. He promised me rain. I'll fix and get me a boat. He promised my marriage healing. I'm fixing to stand on that promise and I'm going to speak life over it every day. No, I don't care how much I don't like her today. Y'all hearing me? You should do some marriage counseling sometime. It will amaze you. You will not wonder why marriages don't work out. Because this is the way they go. They walk in and each one of them want to tell you how bad the other one is. And you're like, Lord, y'all are both idiots. Just love one another. But that, follow me. But they've been speaking that so long that it has become their reality. My wife looks at me all the time. She goes, why do you always say that? Because whenever I get dressed, you know what I always do? And it drives her crazy. I get in the mirror and I always look. And I said, baby, you're the luckiest woman in Lubbock, Texas. I do. Some of you go, oh, that's a horrible thing to say. No, sir. You think, listen to me, you think I'm going to walk up and look at that mirror and go, oh, my goodness, you're the fattest thing ever. No. I believe that when God made me, I'm far more than what I look like on the outside. And for too long, I allowed this world to put inside of me what I should believe about myself. Do you know how many marriages fall apart because they put inside what other people said about their marriage? Girl, let me tell you something. I went up to the sea and looked, and I didn't see no rain. I'd get rid of that man, because did you see that fine man that was at church Sunday? Woo, hey, baby, K-Pa-So, I believe I'd go try him out for a little bit. I bet he may even have a job. It's your fault you invited me, Dennis. The seventh time the servant reported. Now listen to me. It's so vital that you catch this. The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Hang on. You know how many of us would have seen that and went, it must just be vapor off of the water. You listen to me? He come back and he noticed something little. Some of us in our life, we got to grab a hold of what God's doing, and we got to begin to be thankful for even the little things that we see. Because until we're thankful for those little things that God's done, the big things can never come to fruition in our lives. He said, little cloud, I'm praying tonight in Jesus' name that there's a cloud the size of a man's hand rising up in you, and that you'll let it build to be the biggest spiritual rainstorm that God has ever created on the inside of you. And when that cloud pours out, it'll pour out the anointing of the Holy Spirit, because that anointing will begin to break the yokes of bondage in your life. But first, you've got to recognize that it's a cloud and not go, man, I guess I miss God. How about let's go try another island and see if it rains there? This is for somebody else too. Where, if God puts you somewhere, follow me. If God puts you somewhere and it's awful dry, don't you dare run right before the rain, because that next place could be a real drought. Hello? Y'all getting some out of this, or am I wasting your time? Let's read on. And I promise I'm almost done, because it's fixing to rain. He said, go look toward the sea. And he looked at his servant. He went up and looked. Says, there's nothing there. He said, seven times Elijah said, go back. And the seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. When God begins to show you something, follow me on this. I'm teaching you a little bit tonight. When God begins to show you something, you better get up and begin to move in the flow that God has. If you're going to wait for God to show His hand on every step of the way, you will always be behind. Are you catching my drift? He told him, he could have just said, hang around, because man, that could just be a little cloud. But no, you know what the man of God knew? He noticed a promise when he saw it. He said, you better get your chariots and get to rolling, because it's fixing to rain. If you wait, you're fixing to miss out on what God's got for you. You catching me? I want you to do me a favor. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Now, before Josh starts this, I need you to understand carefully. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're worried about what time it is, I want you to think about the category that I talked about earlier when I first started. Why are you here? I am not here because Dennis is my friend. I am not here because I love this place. I'm here because I believe God gave me a word for you. And if you're in this place tonight, and you're walking through a dry place, I need you to know that there is a cloud about the size of a man's hand. But you're going to have the courage to step into it and let that water begin to flow over you. For some of you, you ain't never going to receive the rain that God has for you until you give the forgiveness you need to give. So I've asked Josh to play this song. It's not very long, but here's what I'm going to do. As this song is playing all across this place, if you're sitting there and you know that you've been walking through a dry time, I'm going to ask you to do something different. Instead of sitting in your seats, this means up in the balcony. I'm going to ask you just to stand where you're at, and I'm just going to ask you to look up to the heavens as it's playing and say, God, I want it all. Rain on me. Because there is a cloud.